Guardian Angel, Chapter 5. Jane was asleep on her keyboard when the phone screamed at her the next morning. She reached for it, held it to her ear, and the voice on the other end brought her quickly to her senses. "The novel?" Jerry's voice barked into the mouthpiece. "I wanted to talk to you, remember?" He was greeted with silence as she licked her lips and ran a brisk hand over her face. She stared at the screen in front of her. The spacebar had clicked repeatedly during her slumber, creating an extra 50 pages of space as a result. "Jane?" "Yeah, Jerry, sorry, I'm just waking up. Give me a moment, will you?" She looked at her watch. It was already 9. She walked into the kitchen and, tucking the phone into the crook of her neck, and poured herself a glass of orange juice. "You were still in bed? God, please don't tell me Angel Face was there next to you. I'll vomit on your novels if you do." "Detective Angel did not stay over last night. Our relationship isn't like that. Not that it's any of your business, Jerry. I don't ask after your love life, do I?" She wasn't even sure if Jerry, or indeed Carl come to that, had a love life. But if they did, she didn't want to know about it anyway. Knowing that kind of information was far beyond the call of duty. No woman should have to endure that kind of torture. "What kind of name is that anyhow?" "Angel," he scoffed. "I don't know, I like it. And Jerry isn't exactly the coolest name out there, is it?" "So, are you two together then? Good, is he?" "What are you talking about?" "In bed." "Enough. Hell, we only met a few days ago, and what does it have to do with you anyway? You're my agent, not my father." Jerry laughed, pleased he'd got to her, and it had only taken just seconds. "Yes, about the novel. I wanted to ask you how it was coming along." "Well, I fell asleep on the keyboard last night, if that's any use to you." "Excellent," he smiled. "Excellent. That's what I like to hear, you working hard. Though I barely recall what I wrote. I do appear to have about 1,000,000 pages of space where I used the keyboard as a pillow. That should please you no end," she murmured as she set about deleting the empty pages. "Part about falling asleep. Run that by me again. Does it mean that you worked late or that it's boring?" Jane sat erect as if she'd been slapped across the face. "I don't write boring novels, Jerry," she announced curtly. "I never have, and I doubt I ever would. You pay me to bring you gritty crime novels, and that's what I do. I guess your constant hassling me is just an added extra. Perk of the job, love. Carl wants to talk to you about the jacket. He wants a bigger picture on the back for the next one. Less blurb, more Jane," were his actual words. "Also, he wants you in something a little sexier than the rather conservative blouse you had on in the last one. He said you look like the bloody Queen Mother. We want to promote sex and action here, love, not the royal bloody family. Carl knows how I felt about the picture in the first place. Why would I want to sex it up with a bigger one? The book should sell itself without emblazoning my face on the back. Come on, honey, play nice." "Jerry, the story isn't even halfway through yet. Can't you find someone else to harass?" The long cuffs on her sweater, donned to keep her warm after her evening out, and in which she slept, flapped about in the air as she spoke. "There is nobody else quite like you, Jane. We've just got to promote the sexy side of you to grab a few million more hormonal blokes to buy your stuff. I did suggest you should pose naked, but I'm guessing..." "Guess again," Wise asked. "Yeah, I thought so. Just have a think about it. But the longer you keep me talking over the phone about nothing, the less time I'll have to actually write the damn thing. Just remember that, okay?" She could hear him laughing in the background again, which infuriated her even more. Didn't he have anything better to do with his time? She would bet he was only interested in finding out who her sleeping partners were anyway. "If Carl wants to talk to me about the book, tell him to email me. I'll pick it up later when I have time. Until then, I don't have time to shoot the breeze with you all morning." "You should be thanking me, honey. I woke you up, remember?" "And don't call me honey." She put down the phone and let out a long sigh. Jerry was the worst, Carl a close second. Jerry got into her head and made her skin creep and crawl, and worse than that, she needed them both. She sat back at her computer and stared at the screen. It was good. It was an easier read than her previous efforts. And now she had a real-life detective on which to focus. Tim was certainly the lead character, though she changed his name to John McBrady, or Mac, for short. She continued for another hour before jumping in the shower and finding brunch. When she made her way back to the computer, the flashing light on her answer machine caught her eye. If that was Jerry again, or Carl, she'd go nuts. "Just calling to see if you slept well. Catch you later at the precinct. Bye." Tim's voice was like a melody playing in her head, something she was unwilling to switch off. "Sure did," she said aloud. "Sure will." She was sorry she didn't catch him on the phone. She would have loved to know how far he was into the story, if at all. She conjured a mental image of him checking out the first page, then being pulled into the book like she hoped all her readers were. Donning a charcoal polo neck sweater and blue jeans, she grabbed her black leather bolero jacket and made her way to the precinct for 4:30. Dale and Tim's shift began at 5, and she wanted to be on time. She tucked inside a small rucksack, a notepad and her phone. She also packed some wet wipes and a bottle of water. If there was going to be another call like the previous night, she didn't want to be caught out again. At the precinct, she took a seat at the edge of Tim's desk. Neither Dale or Tim had shown up yet, but no sooner had she made herself comfortable with a cup of coffee in front of her, as well as her notepad, Dale arrived. "Hey, good looking," he waved. "Feeling better?" Jane smiled. She'd almost forgotten how vivacious Dale was. He slumped into his seat casually and put his foot onto the desk as if he suddenly tired himself out. "I'm fine, thank you. And just to let you know, I don't plan on being sick again. I'm usually made of stronger stuff than that." "It's no crime. It takes a particular kind of person to deal with death on a daily basis. It's certainly not for everyone." "How did you get into it, Dale?" "Why did I join the force?" he asked. Jane nodded. "You're going to be writing this down and using it against me." The way he looked at her, in fact the way he looked at any woman, proved he couldn't simply enjoy a conversation. It had to be more. Dale was a born flirt. Worse than that, he was a born heartbreaker, and he knew it. "No," she laughed. "I'm just curious what makes somebody want to do what you do." "I could ask the same about you." "Go on then." "Why write? Why not?" "It's exhilarating when you realise what you've written makes people want more. An ego trip, I guess. Now it's your turn, wise guy." "Got an ego, huh?" He nodded knowingly. "Who doesn't?" "True. As for me, I wanted to make the world a better place," he mocked. "And you chose to do it this way. Surely you could have gone into politics or healthcare." Dale almost fell off his seat with laughter. "I'm not the political kind. And healthcare? Don't think so." Then he thought, "I could use a day ogling the nurses, though. Good idea, Jane. Maybe I'll make some inquiries." He was a 30-something man with a mixed-up kid mentality, dressed in suit pants and a leather jacket, and an attitude to rival Jimmy Dean's. His spiky hair only added to this ideal, making him a professional modern-day rebel. Jane could see why the women flocked by. He was a bad boy through and through. Twinned with the police profession, the guy was a walking chick magnet. Manifesting as Fulton's opposite, Tim walked in. His neatly combed hair and his tidy suit roared niceness. The only disorganised thing about him was his top button. It was still undone, and he held a blue and white striped tie in his hands. As he took the seat, he smiled at Jane, one she hadn't seen before. One, she guessed, hoped, he'd save for certain people. "Miss Murray? Detective?" "Tough night?" Dale asked, gesturing at the tie. "I got caught up in traffic. Thought I'd be here early. I was reading and lost track of time." He checked his wrist for the time and rolled his eyes. "Oh, man. You okay?" Jane asked. "I've left my watch at home. I can't believe I did that. I hate that. I never forget that watch." "Got something on your mind, Tim?" Dale suggested with a growing grin. "Or someone?" Tim stared at Dale, then at Jane, with a mixture of curiosity and caution as he fastened his button and tie. "What do you mean?" Dale took his feet from the desk and pulled his chair nearer so he could rest on it instead. "Oh, nothing." Tim's eyes darted from them again. Had they been talking about him before he got in? Had Jane mentioned the fact they were dating? "I just forgot my watch, that's all." "Okay, if you say so." "Okay, what's going on?" "He's baiting you, Tim," she squeaked sympathetically, "and you walk straight into it." "He's too easy, I tell you." Dale took off his watch and threw it across the two desks. "Here, use mine. I don't care what time it is anyway." "You don't want it?" "You could borrow mine," Jane offered, rolling up her clothes, exposing her watch. "But it is a little feminine." A diamond-encircled face was set against a black strap. "And a little too nice for this place," Tim warned. "Be careful with that, won't you?" "It's a police station, detective, and I'm a big girl," she teased. "I can take care of myself." "Let's hope so." Their boss, Captain Redfern, walked out of his office, a stocky man in his mid-50s, with a pot-marked face and greying hair, threw a sheet of paper in front of Tim. "Call just came in of a suspected homicide, guys. Details are here. Forensics are on their way." He looked down at Jane. "My guys are treating you okay, I hope, Miss Murray?" "Absolutely, Captain. Thank you. They're being very helpful." "Book writing itself? I'll expect a personally signed copy when you're done." "Complimentary," she said. "Of course. Be glad to." Redfern watched the three of them head out into the yard, Jane in the back while Dale drove and Tim occupied the passenger seat, reached into her bag for moist tissues and patted her forehead with one. "Please don't react the same as before," she begged herself as Dale pulled away.